Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in, everybody. I like the head sounder of Coach Culley, who is he is a junkie, and he likes being around us, apparently. I like that.
I love it.
He also likes analytics, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But we got to start with
He's into advanced data. I think you guys are going to be excited once you hear how into advanced data head coach is.
Well, yeah, you know, he's old school analytics, but other than that, we'll talk about that in a little bit here on ESPN 97.5. But we got to start. Okay, so
this is getting stupid, and Lamont can never comment again against you. He can never have the argument again that the Astros,
you can't argue with me about anything.
Lamont, you really honestly can't. We got a listener, Lamont, who argues against John that the Astros play down to their level of competition or up. They play to the level of their competition.
Yeah.
It's becoming a joke, though. Like, it's becoming a really bad joke that the Astros are just expected to not play as well against lesser teams. Now, you know, you had a 500-level team that you the Royals aren't a terrible team, but they're not a good – they're not a team that you should – Jake Odorizzi was just once again –
He's Jake Odorizzi.
You're not going to be able to trust him. He struggled with his outing. The Astros put some runs on the board. It's 4-4. And then they just were out-executed down the stretch. It was little things. It was, you know, you get thrown out on a ground ball to short. There's from second to third. There's nothing really you could do about it. And that particular, you're probably not scurrying back to second. There was Elidmas Diaz on a hit that tied the game. I guess intentionally got hung up between first and second base, so he made the last out of the inning.
With two outs, he's trying to get in a scoring position, you know, and if the throw goes through, if the throw goes through to the plate, then
complain.
He's at second, yeah.
I can't really complain about that.
No, he got the game-tying hit.
But, you know, once again, Ryan Stanek was asked to do his job, and he didn't do his job.
Right.
Well, then Taylor Jones ends up getting a base knock with two outs to tie the game back up at five, and then Yimi was asked to do his job as a reliever, and after two straight strikeouts where he was throwing some gas at about 98, you know, he two-out rally for the Royals. They hang two more runs on the Astros, and the Astros get one run back. They get one back, but they're not able to get both of them back, and the Astros lose yesterday to the Royals, and it's a and we're waiting to see. We're looking for the. There's no word from Dusty. Yesterday, Taylor Jones pinch hit for Yordan Alvarez, and there is no information that we saw from Dusty last night because I didn't hear it during the game what was going on.
Okay, so Perez gets up last night, and here is the sound of Salvador Perez. He's up with two outs and runners on second and third. At that time, this is by far, it's not even close. Salvador Perez is their best hitter. He's got 30 home runs already. It's not even arguable. He's their best player. Now you got righty on righty matchup with Santana on deck, a left-handed guy, but you could have brought in a lefty. But you've got their best hitter at the plate with second and third. They gave the runner second base. It was uncontested, a stolen base, uncontested. So what do? You pitch to Salvador Perez, and this is what it sounds like.
First base is open. Why pitch to him?
There it is.
They do pitch to him. What else can you do, Salvador Perez? Talk about clutch.
I couldn't believe Dusty.
Now, what station is that? Is that Kansas City Radio?
That is Bally Sports.
Bally Sports. B- Bally Sports, we appreciate it. That's the Royals network saying, why would you pitch to him here? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Here's Dusty's explanation. He says the numbers stats showed pitching to Salvador Perez with runners on second and third with two outs in the eighth was a better choice than pitching to Carlos Santana. If you've seen Santana over the years, this guy's been a clutch man for a long time, and that was a good pitch. So, wait a minute. Carlos Santana.
So, Papa followed analytics, and that's what happened?
Well, it was right on right versus versus Santana, who's a lefty. But, Papa, really? Salvador Perez, you would rather throw to him with runners on with runners on second and third, first base open? Really? That's what you that was your thought process there? Oh my goodness. That's unacceptable behavior. It just is unacceptable. I can't.
Oh, Pawpaw.
Pawpaw. What are you thinking there, buddy? He said it was a good pitch and it just
Perez is having a good year. I mean, the guy's, you know, got 30 home runs, big deal. 77 ribs and, you know, an 830 OPS, big deal. Have you ever seen Carlos Santana hit?
Yeah, he's Salvador Perez. He's Salvador Perez.
Blah, blah, blah.
He's their best hitter.
Blah, blah,
wasn't
blah.
A lack of stuff. It was just poor execution of a pitch at literally the wrong time. It was middle down and a spinner. We've all seen people throw them all the time. And
he's literally having a career year.
Execute. Simple as that.
He's literally having a career year.
That was, well, listen, here's, okay, this okay. is Jake Odorizzi and what he was trying to do to Hunter Dozier, the pitch. I mean, let's be honest, it was a backup slider. It was a shippy time for it. I felt good going into the sixth inning. It wasn't a lack of stuff. It is a lack of stuff. Jake Odorizzi doesn't have good stuff. He doesn't have starter stuff. He can't, you're killing yourself if you're trying to get into the postseason. If Jake Odorizzi is going to be one of your starters, in down the stretch here, when the A's are breathing down your neck, this is unacceptable. You can't keep throwing him out there every 5 days. You just can't. You just can't. He is he's a liability right now. Every time he takes the mound, it just is it's probably going to be a loss. Thank goodness the A's lost yesterday. Just as Carlos hit his home run last night, the White Sox took the lead on the A's.
Why do you know that?
Because I saw it tweeted.
That's a weird thing for you to know.
No, it was tweeted right at that time.
Okay.
Just as Carlos hit that homer, the White Sox took the lead.
By the way, the word on Yordan is he left because of an upset stomach, and Alvarez is set to see the doctor. I guess he saw the team doctor. I guess he'll see him today. I mean, it must be bad if you got to leave the game.
Yeah. I mean, if when I know it was a lefty on the mound, and Blummer and Todd were both like, well, I don't understand this move. Bringing in, a Taylor Jones to pinch hit for Yordan Alvarez. Man, that's a big dude. Can you imagine the stomach problems that he has?
Sometimes your stomach's just upset or you're nauseous. Every stomach upset doesn't have to do with...
Do you want to be that toilet?
Blowing up a toilet.
No. Do you want to be in that
My
same?
Stomach hurts. Every time you think upset stomach equals what? Toilet...
explosion. Do you think that's what you want to be around?
I mean, he is an explosive hitter.
He's a big dude.
He's an explosive hitter.
Big dude. I don't want to be around when he's got a bad stomach.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. Hopefully he's, oh, goodness gracious. Is there anything else that can happen to this team? When Taylor Jones, I'm like, Dusty, what is going? Something had to be wrong. Thank God it was just—it's just a stomach.
And Taylor Jones came through,
and he did come through with a double, and then Aledmys Diaz comes through with a two-out hit.
I told you, which is
something they haven't been doing lately.
No, not most recently. Aledmys has done well since coming back, but when it comes to Taylor Jones, I feel like I've only seen him get like two hits ever in his career. I mean, I feel like, I know he has more than that, but it feels like that's all I've seen. It doesn't ever feel like he gets hits. And his first two swing and misses, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be the easiest punch out in the history of baseball. And then he caught a three, and even Blummer said, well, you know, this guy can't, they're blowing fastballs by him.
I know, why did he get off his fastball?
He said all of a sudden, Taylor Jones, I think he was more impressed with that Taylor Jones caught up with a 3-2 slider. Like, who would have been looking for that?
Why did Yimi get off his fastball?
I don't know.
He started throwing up lollipops.
I don't know.
I mean, he gets the first two guys, and then all of a sudden he's throwing some curve, some sliders instead of just firing fastballs at 98.
Well, maybe Castro called it. Why did Castro call for the off speed stuff?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Maybe analytics told him to.
No, analytics did not say anything.
You quit ruining it. Let people hear it organically. Stop ruining this.
I'm not ruining
it. It's analytics. The Astros use analytics.
Are you sure about
that? Yeah, the Astros.
Do you think Dusty used analytics last night?
Yeah.
Pitching to Salvador Perez?
He told you he did.
No, he
didn't. Said the numbers do. Yeah, he said that.
The numbers do.
He said the numbers told him.
How clutch?
He said the numbers told him that it was a better move with two outs. And he said the specific. He said the specific
thing. Do you think Paul was looking at any chart to see?
Yes, 100%.
I bet you 100% he wasn't.
I think Paul looked at a chart because he specifically said minute, second, and third with two outs. I think he looked at a two-on, two-out scenario and said,
here's what he said. If you've seen Santana over the years, this guy's been a clutch man for a long time, and that was a good pitch.
Read the part before it then.
Yeah, the numbers showed the pitching to Salvador Perez.
He just told you the numbers showed. He used analytics.
He didn't use any analytics. You know what? He mind-tricked you. Pawpaw is outsmarting
Pawpaw's
you.
Pawpaw's not outsmarting me.
He just outsmarted
you. Pawpaw's not outsmarting me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he isn't.
Oh, yeah.
Now, well,
I got my chart out.
Here,
oh,
ready?
Do we pitch? No. Pawpaw went.
I'm about to make your point for you.
With his toothpick.
Pretend me.
And he goes, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just
pretend Dusty's here. Pretend Dusty's here. Okay. All right, Dusty. Which one of you left your phone at home this morning? Oh, I guess Papa did out-trick me because I raised my phone. I raised my hand. I don't even have my phone.
I did that
my
yesterday.
My wife was super excited to be able to bring my phone to the show today.
Well, I did that yesterday, only I didn't have my wife bring it. I just left it at home until I got home.
I got Rooster's number there, so we need it. Yeah, so we need it. Rooster Williams is going to join us at 8:30, talk about a little bit about Rockets Summer League.
Yep, we're going
to
do
also, we have a gamer. There's a story we're going to read to you about gamers. And we've got one of the premier gamers in the country who's going to join us at 9:30. His name is Gilton. I don't know a lot about him, but there was an interesting story that came out. And we also have some sound from
Gilton.
David Culley. There has been a trade for the Houston Texans. Nick Caserio's added again. A former draft pick has been cut. We got some stuff to talk about.
We do, but when we come back to Sean Mispractice, and Adam Schefter was on with the Wheelhouse guys yesterday afternoon. We'll play some sound from Adam Schefter on Deshaun Watson and what nationally. I mean, Schefter's plugged in, but it's not any different than anything that I think that we've been telling you all this time. So we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about Chastain Ford and the wonderful people at Chastain Ford and how it is what the car buying experience is right now. The car buying experience is online. You can do it all online, and you can do it at Chastain Ford, and you can't do everything online at the other places because they want you to go in there, and they want to upsell you, and they've got to add on all this stuff so that they can gouge you for as much as they possibly can. That's not the case at Chastain Ford. You can do everything at home. You got assistance from somebody. And one of the first things they ask is, where do your payments need to be? But they will deliver you the car to your home. You can test drive it. If you don't like it, you send it back. You get another one. You test drive that, whatever the case may be. But here's the deal is that you order it all, and then you wait for it to come in, and you customize it exactly as you want it. This is the best way to go about it. You can do that from home, or you can do that at the dealership. You can go to either, and you're going to get your best deal. The commercial industry has known this forever, and now you know it too. Get to Chastain Ford and get with the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston. It's all about the bottom line. You want to win? You want Chastain Ford. It's on at ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Chastain Ford.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein. Hmm.
All right, so Deshaun didn't show up. Well, he wasn't out at practice yesterday. No, where he was. I'm sure he's not being fined. He's not. This is not a $50,000 a day thing. Maybe it's a. They've come to an agreement. Deshaun, just don't come out here, and we won't fine you. Maybe it's stay inside. Whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's doing anything. I want to say it's all reaching ahead, and it's actually doing anything but that. It's doing anything but that. It's actually nothing is happening. Nothing appears to be close to happening. And it's just wait and see, like it has been ever since we found out. Well, ever since Deshaun said, I don't want to play for the Houston Texans anymore. Really, literally nothing other than, all the 22 women and all of that stuff. But we have no progress anywhere, any shape, any form. Adam Schefter was on with the Wheelhouse guys yesterday. And a good get by the guys. And asked about Deshaun Watson not being on the exempt list. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I'm not surprised because people who've gone there, I think there have been 9 players placed on there, and 8 of them have been charged formally. So if the league were to do that, in a way, it would be sending a message that probably could be used against Deshaun Watson legally. So I'm not surprised that the league has not put him on that list. I think the better question is, what does everybody do with Deshaun Watson if and when the regular season begins, when he doesn't want to be there, when it certainly seems like they're preparing to move on without him, and there is the issue of his salary? I don't know how that resolves itself. I think myself and others are very curious to see how this is taken care of. I didn't think that he would be in training camp. He is. I didn't think he'd be at practice. He is. So this situation has continued to go in ways that I would not have expected nor imagined. And I can't tell you how it's going to play out here in the next couple of weeks, but there's a lot of money at stake. And when there's a lot of money at stake, big decisions have to be made.
Yeah. I think we all thought, well, maybe they'll put him on the exempt list before the season starts, but the league just doesn't do that. They do it when games are being played. You don't go on the exempt list unless there are games being played, which now apparently we'll see whether or not that's going to be the case when the regular season gets here, that they just put him on the exempt list instead of, I don't know. Because it's hurting the Texans because he'll count against the 53. If they don't put him on the exempt list, it's...
This idea that what is the only thing that we can possibly talk about is, listen, there is not going to be any... The league is not going to put him on the exempt list for a while until more stuff comes out. Number two, so the Texans are just going to be paying him and he is not going to be playing, I guess. The Texans are going to lose this every which way unless they do what they're doing, which is holding tight. And that's something that we're going to hear from Adam Schefter a little later. There's another soundbite where he talks about how basically, this is what we've been saying, there's not going to be any movement on a Deshaun Watson trade front. People who want it to happen just want news to happen. Because if you really are about the Texans getting the best value, you don't even consider trade. It's not even a discussion point.
No.
It's stuff we do on radio. It's stuff that I'll answer on, on Move the Sticks podcast, or if somebody does something nationally. Is there any movement on Deshaun possibly being traded? No. And hopefully there won't be. Hopefully there won't be until after the combine. Because by then, you will have 5 to 7 teams who need a quarterback. You will know everyone's draft positioning, and you will be ready to get the most value for your trade, because I assume things will be worked out by then. Now, I may be wrong, because the only movement I care about is the movement in the case. Is Deshaun guilty of something? Is Deshaun going to be settling? Is he going to be charged with something? Because until he is, the rest of it is irrelevant. But until the Texans are going to get the value they want, there's not going to be Deshaun movement.
All right, and talking about that. Well, yesterday I had a Twitter back and forth with the obfuscator.
That's Jay. Yeah.
But if they don't want him, they wouldn't. So I said, the Texans, guess what? The Texans don't want him anymore. They They don't want that character. They don't want that as the face of the franchise, the 22 women, all of the things. It's anti-Texans. It's not what the Texans are all about. But if they don't want him, they would wait for a deal to come along. They wouldn't wait for a deal to come along. They'd get rid of him. You don't put an exorbitant price tag on something you don't want to keep. And my argument to him was, yes, you do. He's your only asset. And by NFL standards, they're not asking for an exorbitant amount for a top five quarterback. But you don't just give away pennies. You don't take pennies on the dollar on something as valuable as Deshaun Watson, because he can bring you back a haul which will help you, a haul which will help you rebuild this organization from where Bill O'Brien left it.
Yeah.
Now, asked about what the market is right now for Deshaun Watson, Adam Schefter had this to say yesterday on the Wheelhouse.
Now, again, what they would be willing to give up, you'd have to have conditions attached to it, right? What if he doesn't play for a year? What if he doesn't play for longer than that? What if, I mean, there are a lot of what ifs, and that's why I go back to the legal questions that hang over this entire situation. So, yeah, do I think there are teams that are interested in trading for him? Absolutely. Do I think there are teams that want conditions attached if Houston was willing to deal? Yes, absolutely. And so that's where it gets murky, and I don't think Houston wants to trade Deshaun Watson at 70 cents on the dollar. Houston wants 100 cents on the dollar. And what's the rush for the Texans, right? His value, if it goes the way that Deshaun thinks it is, his value is not going to go down. So if that's the case, well, then they wait and they see how it goes. And then after that all happens, then they make a move and get what they would hope to be full value for him.
Thank you. I mean, what's the rush? You just go sit. We'll pay you your $10 million. Get out. Hopefully the league will help them and put them on the exempt list. We'll pay you your $10 million. It's going to be costly next year to trade him because of salary cap issues and whatnot, but you just do it. But you don't take less for this guy, no matter how long it takes. You don't take less.
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. It's like getting rid of, you know, it's like getting rid of a stock when you know the value of a stock is going to go back up, but you're just so impatient. The only people who want Deshaun traded right now are impatient people. If you're patient, you take, you know, the impatience is what led to doing deals that Bill O'Brien did. The lack of patience, the inability to understand value. He just get him out of here. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. You want us to just get a third? They're only offering a third rounder for Jadeveon. Oh, get him out of here! And they want $7 million. We have to pay $7 million of his salary. Get him out of my building! God, if you could just wait. Mm-mm. If you could just wait a little bit, we could get a second and not pay $7 million. Or at worst case scenario, maybe get a third and a fifth that could turn into a third and not pay $7 million. Can you just wait? Get him out of here! Okay, Bill. We'll get him out of here for you. It's those dumbass moves. Like, you know, what about, okay, the Dolphins say they want two firsts for Laremy Thomas. Give it to him. And they want a second. You said you wanted Kenny Stills. They want a second. Give it to him. But hold on. Let's play this out a little bit. Let's maybe wait a week and go back to him, because we think Kenny Stills is going to become open, because they're deep at wide receiver. They're going to end up cutting him. He'll be a cap casualty if we just wait. I want him! Okay, Mike TV, Violet Beauregard, we'll go get him right now and give up the second rounder. If you just wait, we can get him as a cap casualty. Can you just wait? Get him! That's the kind of stupid-ass stuff that got the Texans in a position they're in. Who am I mad at? I don't know who I'm mad. Your imaginary people you talk to on Twitter or whatever. Listen, just relax. R-E-L-A-X. Maybe I'm the one that needs relax. In February, in March, in April, Deshaun Watson's going to be worth a lot. I promise you. I'll put that on my grandma. Well, she passed, but I'll put that on everybody else. Everyone in my family, I'll put it on John Granato. I'll put it on Papa Dusty. I'll put it on everybody. I promise you, you're going to get a lot for Deshaun Watson via trade in the offseason. I know you're impatient. You want to see what it's going to be. But the longer you wait, the better it's going to be. I promise you that. There should be no trades right now. I don't care. What if Deshaun never plays again? Well, Deshaun never plays again. There's gonna there's going to be safeguards in place for any team who trades for him. You're not going to get anything. You think a team's stupid enough? Listen, the Texans aren't trading for Deshaun Watson. No. Bill O'Brien's not making this deal. No one's going to be stupid enough to have a closed-end deal where Deshaun Watson, they give you a ton of stuff, and they don't care about, if Deshaun never plays again, goes to jail, I guess we just lose all these picks. No one's doing that.
No, and you don't get rid of them now and not get anything. So, apparently, there's one team that was in the mix for Deshaun, doesn't need him anymore. Do you see that?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It feels like that team's going to, you Texans want to act like y'all may want to just hang on to them? Watch what we do. We'll tell you about that team because Texans also have some moves, made some moves yesterday that we want to get to some of the moves they made, including a former draft pick got whacked yesterday.
And not only that, but our coach is all about the numbers.
Who knew our coach was a numbers guy?
I did not know it.
Actually, our coach is not a numbers guy. That was what I would have bet on. Now the numbers people over SiteJab, they're big in analytics. They're big into the analytics, and analytics is basically just data that you are able to take and you're able to crunch the numbers and come up with results and what your best course of action should be. That's all it is. Don't be intimidated by the phrase analytics. Analytics is just giving you the best chance to succeed, and that's what SiteJab does. They have analytics for your website, where they take a look at how long people spend on the website, which pages they go to, how long they stay. And they've taken all this data over the years. I mean, they've got over 23 years of data to look at in terms of website build-outs and marketing strategies. And they build websites with all this analytical data in mind. And what they've done is built a very good-looking site, but also one that's highly functional, where you get to go to the sites and they build a site where people stay on your site longer. They get the information they need, and they're able to convert those eyes into leads. Make sure that you go to sitejab.com to give you your best chance to make some money. SiteJab.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Isaiah Coulter, no more.
Former sixth-round pick. This is what happens when you don't perform and you're not the draft pick of the current GM. You're not insulated. He had, is this year two only?
Yeah,
it's only year two. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Isaiah Coulter is no longer a Texan. He is an early cut. I think it's because of the amount of depth they have at wide receiver. They're able to get rid of
Do they, though?
Coulter. Well, they have a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
When I say depth, I mean just the amount of people they have there.
Yeah. I wonder.
He has not. Apparently, he has not done anything in practice. From what I heard that last week, that he hasn't been a factor at all.
No.
He was a fifth round pick.
Do you think Scotty Phillips and with what they did, Scotty Phillips and Darius Jackson, maybe gave themselves a shot?
I think Scotty Phillips has a shot, but it's a long shot. They have to take four wide receivers. But if you look at the New England model, which I always look at it just because it could give us information that we need, New England was always about having, you may see them have four wide receiver or four running backs because of special teams. You know, you get guys who are good at special teams. One of them is going to be a good wide receiver. That was always the case. And David Johnson, that's a former wide receiver turned running back in college, just so you know. So I think he'll be the guy who catches the ball. You have Mark Ingram, who's a veteran, steady veteran presence. And then you have Phillip Lindsay, who's the top. You were right on that one. I mean, Phillip Lindsay is going to be your top back.
Yeah.
He's the top runner.
Well, and you got Buddy Howell, too.
And that's the question is, Buddy Howell, I don't think Darius Jackson will make it. I think it's going to be between Buddy Howell and Scotty Phillips, because Phillips is a two-way. I actually liked Phillips when he came out of Arizona. Can catch the ball. I thought he has a little bit of wiggle and some juice. I think he's not a bad running back. Buddy Howe, I think Buddy Howe's pretty solid, though. But this week will be big because you have, let's see who gets the carries. I mean, we're in the second quarter, and Scotty Phillips is getting those carries around the end zone. And maybe it's because they know what Buddy Howe can do. They have plenty of, maybe not plenty of pro tape on Buddy Howe, but he's got pro carries that they can look at. But, yeah, I think that's actually one of those kind of quiet little battles that I'm interested in is who ends up being the fourth running back. I think they'll have a fourth running back, but whoever it is better be good on special teams. They better be on kick coverage, kickoff return, or
Phillips,
punt cover teams.
I don't know if Phillips.
I don't know if Scotty Phillips is getting any reps like that.
Yeah.
So I'll have to check on Buddy Howell also if he's getting teams reps. But that's going to be critical if you're going to be, or you better be, an outstanding pass catcher. So they could carry just three. There's a chance they could carry just three running backs. I mean, a lot of teams carry three running backs.
But two of them are older, but yeah. And they've had some injuries, so we'll see.
This is the first year that we – remember, this is the first year that we'll see Nick Caserio, how he manages a roster and what his roster looks like. Wait, does he value a lot of safeties? Does he value a lot of wide receivers? Does he value a lot of running backs, linebackers? These are typically the positions where...
Normally, don't you say that's the coach is able to do that?
I mean, it depends on if the coach understands the numbers and inside
the
game.
He's a numbers guy, though.
Is he? That's my question.
Oh, well, he... Yes. When asked about, you know, not going for it, I mean, he's got his chart, and he's studying it. And I think he memorized it, actually.
Yeah.
He might have memorized his chart.
I don't think.
On when to go for it and when not
to
go for it.
I don't think that's the case. As a matter of fact, I believe we have sound, John. We have sound.
Well, he was asked about it, and I thought that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, we have sound of him being asked about. And I want you to listen very carefully to this. We'll play it more than once to make sure you hit on this one. But David Culley was asked about, you know, the analytics behind whether or not he goes for it on certain fourth down situations.
That or a sheet that looked at the probabilities and kind of making those decisions?
Well, it's not so much the probability. It'll be more so how I feel at that point about going for it. I know analytics has those things out there. We do have access to all of that, but I'm old school in the way that, you know, when we're playing, if I'm not feeling it, we're not doing it. So regardless of what that chart says.
I'm sorry. Could you replay that one more time? I heard a word that I'm not familiar with.
That or a sheet that looked at the probabilities and kind of making those decisions.
Well, it's not so much the probability. It'll be more so how I feel at that point about going for it. I know analytics has those things out there.
Okay.
We do have access.
There it was. The analytics of it. So that's just, that kind of tells me he's not really an analytics guy.
Or have I been saying it wrong this whole time?
Analytics guy, because he calls it analytics.
This is how I know he's not a numbers guy. A, I'm a numbers guy. It's one of the things that people know about me is I'm a numbers guy. Especially
I know analytics has those things out there.
Yeah, and... yeah, well... This is how I know he's not an analytics guy. Is because he refers to it as analytics, which makes me believe that David Culley does not want to see your fancy charts. David Culley could not play. He could not coach for the Astros. James Click would say, hey, have you seen our advanced data on this? Daryl Morey, you think Daryl would? I was wondering if you saw the amount of players, the most advantageous shooting position for Kevin Porter Jr. is actually from the left, you know, from the left sideline. With all due respect, Daryl, I don't listen to analytics. Do what my gut tells me.
Analytics.
I know analytics has certain numbers.
I like the one. I know analytics has stuff out there.
Give us the full one again. Not the full one.
I know analytics has stuff out there.
Yeah, just give us that sentence again.
I think
just so we can.
Anytime anybody's using numbers, I think we got to play that.
Uh huh. Let's hear that.
I know analytics has those things out there.
Yeah. I don't feel confident at all that we're going to be. You know what? David Culley is not interested in your decision to hit on 16.
I'm sorry, Coach. What kind of things are out there with the analytics? What are they out there?
Things. There's different things out there. Yeah, there's charts and whatnot.
There's things out there.
You know those wristbands that quarterbacks wear? Probably analytics in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably some analytics. So, David Culley, you do not want him on third base at the blackjack table. You know, like, what are you doing, David? Why did you just hit against the dealer showing five? Why did you just hit? You have 16. Hey, I've always heard you hit on 16. No, not when the dealer's showing five. I don't listen to analytics.
That's what I feel.
I'm feeling my gut. Don't feel your gut.
Well, people do that.
Analytics.
Who? Jackie wants to know, who is this analytics? No, it's not analytics. It's analytics.
Is that similar to analgesic?
No,
that
it's
you used
not.
To put on like muscle problems.
No, he didn't pronounce probability wrong. He said probability right.
Stop it.
Deshaun is Michael Vick, and Davis Mills is Matt Ryan. Now what now?
Now what now? Is this a story somebody wrote?
This is Jacob Bocanegra. Said what?
What does that
now,
mean?
What now?
What does that mean?
I hope
exactly?
he's right. I hope.
Why
he's right.
Why did he say this?
He said that because by the way, then look at what's going to happen. Look what happened for the Falcons. Oh, Michael Vick's gone. That's okay. We're going to the Super Bowl.
It led to
and we're going to 28-3.
It led to Matt Ryan. Oh, okay. So
yeah.
Michael Vick. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's not what my analytics tell me, but I'm hoping you're right.
Well,
I hope I don't. Always say analytics now.
Because
I can just sit on a podcast. I can see me slipping up and saying analytics, and then I'm going to get the David Culley treatment. Watch national draft expert who doesn't even understand what analytics are. Like, oh no, guys, it was a slip. It was just a slip. I said analytics because of something else.
No, now you're going to say that all the time.
No, I have to.
Coach Culley on the line right now? Is that who is down there? Let's get Coach Culley. Hey, Coach Culley, what's going on? You what? Hey.
Coach, how you doing?
Coach Culley. Let's go, boys. Here we go, man.
Well, no, that's all.
Okay.
That's it. That is not Coach Culley. Coach, he's busy in practice.
It could have been before practice. Does practice start at 8?
Yeah. Practice? No. Well, they're there working.
He did
before.
Have some of the.
You know, they're there at 4 in the morning.
He did have some of the mannerisms.
Paul can't sleep. You gotta get.
That's true. Old people wake up super early.
Wait.
My mom wakes up at like 4:30 every day.
Then you know Coach Culley.
Coffee
up.
And Sudoku or crossword puzzles or whatever.
Smoke.
Choking down a Winston or a Marlboro or whatever she smokes. Probably. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't blame her. No, that sounds
sounds terrible. Coffee, a cigarette, and a crossword puzzle at 4:30? That sounds terrible.
I used to do that all without the crossword puzzle. But I was still up. I was still up.
And you were younger.
Yeah.
You weren't like an old person who just like, well, that's all I can sleep.
No.
I can only sleep five. Although my mom does get to bed earlier.
No. I can sleep now. Vacation? Just let me sleep. That was so good. All right, it's 742 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf is somebody that will buy your car. He will buy your car for more than anybody else will. What I need you to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com and see what you're going to get for your car. He says, though, John Clay Wolf says this. He says, I will give you more, but it's probably going to end at the end of this month because apparently the factories are ramping up again and they got chips, and so they're going to be able to make new cars, and they're going to be starting to fly out of the factories. And here's the deal is right now, selling your car is at the optimum point. So if you're looking for the most money you can get for that used car, right now is the time to sell it. Go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. John Clay Wolf will pay you more. If he can't beat the CarMax offer, he's going to send you $100. John Clay Wolf says, go to GiveMeTheVin.com.
97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Are you a little bit worried about this Benny LeMay play?
Yeah, a little bit. For those who don't know, Benny LeMay is a backup running back for the Colts. He's trying to make the team over there. I don't think he's going to, but he there was a, you know, the NFL has made taunting a point of emphasis this year. They're going to penalize taunting.
I hate that. Now, I understand that a point of emphasis. I understand that you're trying to clean up the game and all of that. But when you say point of emphasis, it means that we're looking for it, and we are going to overreact to it. And that's generally what happens.
I mean,
and then it has to straighten itself out.
That's the actual, that's the actual consequence.
Yeah.
Of point of emphasis. And so Benny LeMay had a carry where he just kept grinding his legs and they couldn't get him down and the pile kept moving him. And he ended up gaining an extra 6 or 7 yards, went down, got up, and kind of just flexed a little bit. The guy who tackled him, he flexed. He probably said something to him. It didn't look like anything.
We don't know if he said anything.
It didn't look like anything out of the ordinary of what you see in games. It really didn't. And it didn't look like any kind of crazy taunting. It really didn't. I mean, he kind of did a quick flex, not even a long one. He did a quick flex like, yeah, like that kind of thing where you go, yeah, and then, boom, here comes the flag. And everyone realizes, oh, my gosh, is this what it's
going to
be?
It's going
to 15 yards, John.
And it's going to come at a bad time. It is going to come at a bad time in a football game that they're going to call a silly, silly play. We've seen it with the quarterback hits where we've gone, are you kidding me? Because it was a point of emphasis. We've seen it. We've seen it with celebrations, and you're like, "Oh, are you kidding me?" Now we're going to see it with taunting. We're going to see a bad call in a bad situation that is going to affect probably a pretty big football game. This was Colts Panthers preseason number one game, not meaning much, but I'll tell you this: if I'm a coach, I am. It's almost to the point, you know, we got to the point where don't do anything. Guys, just come back to the bench. I know you're happy about scoring a touchdown, but can you just come back to the bench? Guys, don't stand over anybody. I understand what the league is trying to do, but we know how far they take it. There is going to come a time, I promise you, that we're going to, during this season, that we're going to say, damn, we knew this was going to happen. So, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Looks like the market for Deshaun Watson is shrinking because apparently, there's a guy after one preseason game, after a mediocre first year, but after one preseason game, man, we found our franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it's a done deal.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts. Jordan Schultz put this out, the Schultz report. I guess he's an Eagles, I don't know, he's a Philadelphia reporter, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a fast-growing sentiment among Eagles players that Jalen Hurts is undoubtedly the franchise QB. His work ethic, intangibles, and overall skill level have captured the entire locker room. Players I've spoken with are consistently blown away by Hurts on and off the field.
Now, remember, he works for ESPN. I mean, it's not just some slappy. This is a guy who covers the Eagles. He is the one who hosts the Pull Up podcast with CJ McCollum. So, I mean, he's got a little bit of juice. He's on Daily Wager on ESPN too. So, I don't doubt that he's talked to players who have told him that. We'll have to see how he plays. We'll have to see how he plays in games with full on number one defenses going after him. You know, the number ones on defense. I am still ready to believe that the Eagles could be in play for the Texans when it's Watson time. We'll see.
Well,
maybe he'll have a strong year, but I just know that you'd like to see any quarterback who has been drafted as he was the 53rd pick. He's the second pick of the second round pick. If you think that guy's got a chance to be a quarterback, give him a runway. Let's see what he can do. But that's not the NFL now. And if Deshaun Watson's available now, they may pull the trigger earlier rather than later if he doesn't have a good year this year. We'll find out. Dak Prescott is probably not going to play against the Houston Texans this weekend in a preseason game. And if he didn't play against Texans, he ain't playing in a preseason. Mike McCarthy's going to hold him out. But this is with Dak, this is not related to the ankle or the lower leg. This is his shoulder. This is a shoulder that is concerning the Cowboys. And they wanted to hold him out, you know, with an abundance of caution. But I also remember when James Click said, oh, Alex Bregman's quad is 100%. And then all of a sudden they didn't know when his next rehab stint was going to be anymore. And then Alex Bregman every day posts videos of him running on Instagram. Like, okay, we got it. You're running. We get it, Alex. But something's going on there with Alex Bregman. So we'll see if something's going on with Dak Prescott. But if Dak Prescott is not healthy, then Washington with Fitzpatrick is going to be the competitor. I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is I think if Dak Prescott is ready to roll, Dallas is going to crush in that division. If he's not...
I don't know. I'm thinking... I really like Washington.
Washington's defensive front is fantastic. Yeah. I like their skill position. So I looked at them. I finished my article on pivotal rookies for each team. You know, when you look at Washington, they got Terry McLaurin at wide receiver. They've got, you know... They've actually got a couple of good receivers, Curtis Samuel.
Gibson.
They've got Antonio Gibson, who they're waiting to see more from this year. It's his second year as a running back. They got a steady, you know, they got Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know what he is. My pivotal rookie was not, who was their first rounder? Mine was not their first round pick, Jamin Davis, who I think is going to be a chance of being defensive rookie of the year. Mine was Sam Cosmi. Sam Cosmi's starting to right tackle, and you want to talk about pivotal rookies. If they need Cosmi to play well, if Cosmi plays well, they got a shot. I agree with you. I mean, that's with Dak. If Dak Prescott doesn't play, and maybe even if he does, Washington's defense, I don't know if people fully recognize how talented their front seven is. They're made up of nothing but first-round picks, and they're good freaking players. Like, that's a talented team. And I don't think the Giants are going to be slouches this year either. I think we're going to see a much better year from Daniel Jones, and I think they've got some pieces in place where on defense where they can be a little bit of a factor. And remember, Saquon Barkley got hurt in the first game of the year last year. They also added Kenny Galladay. They're going to be a better team if the team doesn't completely revolt on Joe Judge after three different offensive linemen have retired.
Yeah. I think they've had four guys retire this offseason.
They've had guys, Joe Loney retired. They've had, you know, they've had veterans. I think veterans who are hoping to kind of cruise along, they realize this isn't the camp for me. I'm just trying to make it, hang on, and get like Fulton. Zach Fulton was Zach Fulton's like,
I'm done with this.
Remember when Bill O'Brien didn't make any veterans? Remember when everyone could talk their way out of practice with Bill O'Brien?
No, it worked out well.
Ain't happening with Joe Judge.
It worked out well. That worked out well. Apparently, there's a correlation between how bad your football team is and how much you drink. Did you see this story? Sports Handle surveyed NFL fans of legal drinking age to get a better handle on the things of the average number of drinks. And I'm going to call BS on this whole thing. First of all, they've broken it up into four groups from the NFL fans that drink the most to the fans who drink the least. Apparently, Cincinnati Bengal fans drink the most. 5.2 drinks. Ravens fans, 4.7.
5.2 drinks what? During a game?
Per game.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills fans, 4.5.
That's a lie.
Bull.
Bills are at least six.
Bull snip. There is zero chance the average Bills fan only drinks 4.5 drinks.
They're at least at 5.5, and my guess is they're the number one fan base.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. The Bears, 4.5. Panthers, 4.4.
Panthers? Broncos,
yeah, I know. What the hell? The Houston Texans, average drinks, 3.8. Their record during that time, 135 and 169. Apparently, there's a correlation. They found a correlation between how much you drink and the futility of your football team.
Well, you mentioned, and basically what you're saying is the teams are are pushing their fans to drink. That's what they're trying to tell you. Look at the teams. But I would say, wow, that's flawed logic because, John, when the Texans were winning 11 games or 10 in a row, drink were you more. Drinking?
Drink more.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand this.
I'm going to drink in misery, though, and I'm going to drink in celebration.
You, did you drink when they were when they won 12 games back in 2012?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Did you drink when they were 4-12?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't. There's for you, no, I don't see a correlation between winning and 3. Losing.
3.8 drinks. You ain't hanging out with my friends, okay? While you're watching a game,
you guys should be in Buffalo.
Yeah.
With Bills fans. By the way, I'm not. Yeah, 4.5. That's the biggest fallacy in those whole numbers.
No.
That's how I know that those people are not into analytics.
I cannot believe any of those numbers. Okay.
If you don't have the right kind of analytics, which gives you information and stuff, then I'm not interested.
All right. When we come analytics. Back, the Astros have the most favorable schedule down the stretch, or do they? but first, TGS is what we're talking about.
TGS Insurance gives you the most favorable opportunity to save money with your homeowner's insurance. TGS says, look, why are you paying so much for your homeowner's insurance? When you shop your rates, you're going to get lower rates, but many people don't shop their rates. And it's because you don't want hassle. And I get it. I don't want hassle either. But how about this? TGS says, oh, okay, you don't want hassle? Well, how about you text the word money to 232323, and then within 15 seconds, we'll give you a firm quote on homeowners insurance from A-rated companies. And they've got aggregated A-rated companies ready inside their database with their algorithms to give you their rates within 15 seconds. That's almost unheard of that you get rates that quickly. But it really goes further than that. Once you make the decision that you want to switch, they'll handle that process for you as well. You have minimal amounts of work that you have to do to get switched over. And you can be switched over in the same day, really within the same hour in most cases. So make sure that you give yourself a chance to put away more of your money into your pocket by texting the word money to 232323 or go to TGSinsurance.com.
Here we go. So put your best face on, everybody. Pretend you love this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out.
ESPN 97.5.